Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As a teenager, I had this job at a local bowling alley that, I think it's safe to say, was the epicenter of the most disturbing event I've ever lived through. The place was called the Tipsy Pin, and was a rundown little bowling alley connected to a small little pizza joint and a little arcade that was about the size of a small bedroom, containing, I think, only Pac-Man and some pinball machine that was perpetually out of order. Despite its less than stellar ambience, it was actually a hot spot in our small town, mainly because it was one of the few places where you could hang out past 9 p.m. The owner, Mr. Buffalo, was a pretty cool guy, despite being nearly 80 years old. He paid fair enough, for our sleepy little town, at least, and I always felt he treated us with respect and genuinely cared about the alley and the people who came and went. But this story isn't technically about him or the alley itself. It's about a coworker of mine. For the sake of the story, let's call him Jay. Now, Jay was off. There's really no kinder or better way to put it. He was a real tall guy who just had an unsettling presence to him. His hair was always a mess. For some reason, he asked for a uniform about two sizes too small for him and never got it replaced. But the real reason he made a lot of us uncomfortable is that, well, Jay never spoke. Now, I don't mean he was quiet or that he didn't like to socialize. I mean, in the most literal sense, he would not speak a word, even if you directly asked him something. He'd just stop what he was doing and stare at you, until you eventually got a little creeped out and walked away. The only exception was his occasional muttered complaints about Mr. Buffalo. Every once in a while, usually right after the boss gave him or us a task to do, you'd hear the faintest of whispers fall from his lips. None of us could ever really hear what he was saying, but we would usually pick up on the words buffalo, sick, and a few words of the stronger variety. He'd also look real upset while mumbling. Jay's disdain for the boss was pretty confusing to most of us. Mr. Buffalo, just like to the rest of us, was really nothing but kind to Jay, always trying to engage him and make him feel part of the team. I remember one time Mr. Buffalo walked up to him after most of us had dispersed, but I was still relatively nearby and heard him say, "Hey, Jay, how'd you like to get fitted for a new shirt on me? That thing looks like it's digging into your neck there, bud. I want to make sure you're comfortable here at the pin." But Jay just glared at him, his eyes growing more and more bold with disdain as the seconds passed. Eventually, the boss just walked away, shaking his head all the way to the back office. I was shaking my head, too. Then, one day, I came into work at the usual time of 9 a.m., and the boss wasn't in. This was unusual, because he rarely missed a day at the Tipsy Pin, and always liked to open and close. He was just that kind of boss. He really cared about his business, which made it all the more odd that he wasn't in. I asked a couple co-workers if they'd heard anything from him, and none had. I figured he must be running late or something, and would be in before too long anyhow. And that's when Jay walked in. He had an uncharacteristic pep in his step. As I watched him nearly skipping towards lane 4, carrying what looked like a bowling bag in his right hand, the thought occurred to me that he actually seemed as though he was, well, happy. I really was shocked. Driven by a mix of curiosity and a kind of bizarre concern, I decided to walk up to him. "Hey, Jay," I said, attempting to sound casual. "You seem in a good mood today." I was expecting another glare, albeit maybe a less threatening one this time, before I just smile back and walk away. But for the first time, he turned to me, and after the smile grew wider across his face, he actually spoke. "Got a new bowling ball," he said, his voice unsettlingly eager. I was both happy for him and a little hesitant as I responded, "Oh, yeah? Well, let's see it." I watched, intrigued, as he unzipped his bowling bag and pulled out a bowling ball that, after my eyes adjusted to the sight, literally took my breath away. But not because of its sheer beauty, but because of the utter shock that pulsed through me. It was like nothing I had ever seen before. The outside of the ball was crystal clear, as if it was made from glass, or more likely, a kind of resilient resin. But it was what lay deeper inside that screamed out at me. It was, as far as I could tell, a human skull. I immediately assumed it to be a replica, trying to reassure myself, but it sure didn't look like one. It looked completely real and intact, and the three holes in which you're to place your fingers were lined up with the skull's two eye sockets and nose cavity. I found it in me to catch my breath. "Wow, that's, unique," I managed to say, attempting to mask my horror with a weak smile. Jay didn't seem to notice my discomfort, his eyes glued to the ball held like a trophy in his hands. He then turned around and placed the ball on the return, seemingly preparing for a game. I watched as he threw his first, resulting in a shattering strike. He walked back, that grin seemingly still widening across his face. I looked around to see if any of my co-workers were seeing this, but none were around. Must have been in the arcade or pizza joint. It was early, but still, I thought it was a little inappropriate to be fooling around so flagrantly on the job. I turned back to Jay. "Listen, I don't mean to interrupt your game, but shouldn't you be working?" I asked, subconsciously taking a step back in nervousness. "Mr. Buffalo will be pretty upset if he sees you slacking off." The ball slammed into another set of pins, his second strike. As he walked back, Jay looked me in the eyes and whispered, "Oh, don't worry about him." He walked over to the chairs by the lane and sat down, giggling to himself. He's not gonna be a problem anymore. His words hung on the air. I just slowly nodded my head, and after a few awkward moments of silence, decided to just leave him be. I sure wasn't gonna fight with the guy, and what did I care if he got in trouble anyway? It'd probably be nice if he was fired. It'd certainly make the day a little less strange. But as the day went on, Mr. Buffalo never came in. I tried calling his cell, but never got an answer. By the end of the day, I decided someone needed to stick around to close, so I volunteered. I wasn't used to staying that late, and by the end I had practically been there over 16 hours. I was exhausted and couldn't help but crash on the couch the moment I walked through my front door. I woke up with a jolt as I realized I never set my alarm. Ah, crap, I shouted as I realized it was 10:30. I was already an hour and a half late. So I threw on my clothes, said screw it to the shower, and ran to my car. As I pulled up to the Tipsy Pin, I found a sight there I'd never seen before or since. The parking lot was packed with police vehicles and local news vans, with a few different flocks of camera crews and news anchors all blabbering away in front of the building. I almost felt like I was entering a movie as I slowly pulled in, being extra careful to not hit anyone in the chaotic scene. I pretty quickly realized I wasn't going to get far, so I pulled back a little bit and parked near the very back, deciding to walk the rest of the way. I bobbed and weaved my way through news crews and officers before one of the cops grabbed me by the shoulder and turned me around. Hey, this is a restricted area right now. You're gonna need to leave. Listen, I work here, I said, still quite confused. I don't know what's going on here at all. Can you tell me what happened? There's been a murder, he replied dryly. What? I immediately reacted. What? Who? But before he even said the words, I knew. The owner of the bowling alley was found by one of the employees in the basement. But I can't get into any more detail than that at this time. My head was spinning, and I tried to get more answers. What? Who did this? Has anyone been arrested yet? The officer stared at me, looked away, and then turned back. Look, I'm not supposed to say anything right now, but as the chief is going to give the press conference in an hour anyway, I'll just tell you. Some kid who works here named Jay copped to the whole thing. Has no remorse, says he'd do it again, yada yada. So it's a pretty open and shut case. No bad guys on the loose tonight, at least. I nodded, but I don't know if the words were really sinking in. I felt like I was going to pass out, so without saying another word, I found myself walking and then nearly jogging back to my car. I drove home, and I never saw the inside of that bowling alley ever again. In the following days, details emerged in the press. The identification of the culprit as Jay, yes, but some far graver details. Apparently, The body was found in the old downstairs closet where we keep some of the less needed supplies, which explains why no one discovered him that first day after he went missing. I still don't know which one of my coworkers found him. I haven't been able to get into contact with anyone who'd know. But the corpse was apparently found in the closet, hanging upside down, his ankles tied with a chain to the lighting fixture, his entire blood supply drained and collected into a large bucket placed just below, his head missing, the neck nothing but a drained, dripping maw. The community was shaken to its core. It wasn't long at all before the Tipsy Pin closed down, a silent testament to the tragedy that had unfolded within that building. Oddly enough, it was within half a year that the now vacant building mysteriously caught aflame in the middle of the night, and by morning was nothing but a pile of ash and bricks. At this point, it's like that bowling alley was never even there to begin with. It's been years now, but I've still not so much as entered a bowling alley since. I just know that I wouldn't be able to get him out of my mind. To get it out of my mind. I know that the moment I'd see some little kid ready to roll his first bowling ball down the lane, my mind would switch out the little 1-pound kiddie ball for Jay's prized possession, and I'd watch as what was left of Mr. Buffalo screamed towards the pin in terror and agony. Thank you for listening to tonight's episode of Clancy Pasta. I really hope you enjoyed. If you did, please give the video a like, subscribe, or follow for more, and let me know what you thought in the comments down below. And huge thanks to The Blind Faye and Roland Curtis 4673 for the $2 super thanks they each gave me. I really appreciate it so much, means a lot. And on top of all that, thank you so much to my supporters on Patreon and YouTube members. I really appreciate it, couldn't do it without your help. And if you'd like to support the channel, you can always go to patreon.com/clancypasta or become a YouTube member. And if you happen to be listening on a podcasting platform, you can always go to youtube.com/clancypasta to hear new episodes first. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate your viewership, and I will talk to you all very soon. Have a great night. Cheers.